taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Who do you trust? If there's one thing that we should be learning over the last few months and years, is the importance of determining who you trust. Not simply who do you trust to get information from, but who do you trust to help you make the decisions that impact so much of your life? Now, I've said for a while now that it's more important than ever that we follow Reagan's advice. We trust but verify. And part of that is taking responsibility for our own decisions. Part of that is waking up and looking at the world around us and stop waiting for someone else to make the decision for us. Stop waiting for someone else to tell us what to do. See, because although we claim to be the land of the free people don't wait for someone else to tell them what to do. Although we claim to be the home of the brave, brave people are willing to take a chance to make a decision, move with it. If it doesn't work, then change. Yet that seems to hardly describe a lot of what we see in America over the last couple of years. Now, I'm willing to believe, and in fact, I'm hoping that we've been focusing on the wrong things because that's the direction media sends us. That maybe there are more people out there that are awake, that are deciding for themselves, that have not become the subjects of the government in Washington, D.C. But the only way to find out is to find each other and talk about these things openly and publicly. So hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel, and today I want to talk about this idea of waking up, coming out of our stupor, and seeing what's going on around us and deciding for ourselves, what are we going to do? Now, there's several different things that I could cover, but I found something, a couple things really interesting. And I guess I could call it the good and the bad out of Florida. Now, let's start with the bad. If you go to the hospital, you're trusting the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, well, to do what's in your best interest. And if you are, you know, have someone that you trust to take care of you, you expect them, the hospital, to listen to the people that love you the most. But what happens if you can't trust the hospitals anymore? Well, take this example in Florida, where a 55-year-old Florida woman was in the hospital being treated for COVID-19. Now, her children had advocated and had talked about that she would be treated with ivermectin. Now, the ivermectin treatment was stopped after this woman improved. So she's in the hospital with COVID-19. She's getting ivermectin treatments. She's getting better. Then the hospital stops the treatment. Why? Medical records show apparently that the hospital pharmacist intervened. Now, this woman, once the ivermectin treatment was stopped, well, she worsened. In fact, she was put on a ventilator and died, according to medical records. And this is being reported in the Epoch Times. But here's what's interesting. She received not the ivermectin, but she received remdesivir even after both she and her children expressed that they did not want her treated with remdesivir. Again, according to records provided by this woman's daughter. Now, here's what's even worse. See, this woman's three children, ages 32, 23, and 15, knowing that the nurse who was there advocating for ivermectin on their behalf. They wanted ivermectin. This nurse was advocating for ivermectin. She was fired. The nurse was fired. Why? Well, because she suggested ivermectin. So the hospital has urged the state of Florida to revoke her license. Now, I'm not a medical ethics expert, but I seem to remember, isn't the first point of the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm? If you have a patient that is getting better with treatment, the family requested the treatment. I believe the patient requested the treatment. The patient was getting better. Wouldn't that be a treatment you wish to continue? When you switch to another treatment and the patient gets worse, isn't that a treatment you'd like to stop and go back to a treatment that appeared to be working? But even more, at the core of this, who decides the medical treatment? Is it the patient? Is it the patient's family? Is it the patient's doctor? Or is it the pharmacist? And tell me, would you trust going to a hospital that would fire a nurse for recommending a treatment that apparently was working? Medical records show this woman was getting better on ivermectin, and she got worse on remdesivir. Would you trust a hospital that would fire a nurse for standing up for what the patient and her family were asking for? I don't trust them. I remember when my father-in-law was ill. And I love my in-laws tremendously. It was not the stereotypical, you know, in-laws hating us. But I remember he was ill and he was in the hospital. And they were of the generation that did not question doctors. If the doctor told you the sky was green, you believed them. And I remember her getting a bit of a runaround at one time at the hospital. I remember my wife was very upset. So I went to my mother-in-law and said, listen, I understand. If you want someone that will stand up and get answers that they're not giving you, give me a medical power of attorney. I'll be more than happy. Well, I'll be willing to go in there and make a stink and get the information. The days of simply sitting back and doing what the doctor tell you are long gone. At this point, you need an advocate that will fight for your position. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a medical ethicist. There are plenty of people out there who will give you much better advice on the details. But it's one of those, yes, you need a medical power of attorney or something along that line. Something that says the family, some trusted family member, some trusted friend has the final authority to decide on treatment. If you are incapable, you need someone you trust that will make sure your wishes are being followed. And whatever the legal document that is necessary, especially in your state, you should have one. Because I'm sorry, we can no longer trust that the doctors have your best interests in mind. Now, actually, let me rephrase that. Because I don't know it's so much the doctors that are the problem. See, we've turned the medical industry into corporate conglomerates. The doctors aren't making the decisions anymore. The doctors are constrained by rules and regulations that are set up by the hospitals so that the doctor isn't making a medical decision based on their best knowledge, their best experience, and their observations. No, it's being based on some treatment plan created in some conference room somewhere. And I don't know about you, I don't trust that. Of course, then there's another group that I don't know that I completely trust. And that's the school system. I haven't trusted the school system for decades. I mean, there's a reason why we homeschooled our daughter. But I was interested to find that Florida's school chief apparently rejected a whole group of textbooks because of indoctrination. Florida's Department of Education has rejected dozens of math textbooks, K-12 math textbooks, after they found that they included indoctrination concepts such as critical race theory. Now, I know when I went to school, I was expected to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. You send your child to school, you want them to learn the basics. You want them learning math, 2 + 2 = 4. not critical theory, not even concepts related to critical theory. Certainly not racial concepts, not in math. If you talk about one of the things that should be as devoid from racial considerations as possible, isn't it math? Doesn't 2 plus 2 equal 4 regardless of the color of the mathematician? So, okay, Florida has gotten... I wonder how many of those textbooks are in your schools. See, I don't live in Florida. I live in Tennessee, which makes me wonder. Are school books in Tennessee, are the math school books in Tennessee bringing in concepts such as critical race theory into math? Are they racializing math? Are they using race to, or math classes to racially indoctrinate our children, to turn them into racists? Makes me wonder. I certainly don't trust them. Because of the 132 books that were submitted to the Florida Department of Education, 54 of them were deemed to be either didn't meet their standards or contained prohibited topics, such as, again, critical race theory, Common Core, and unsolicited addition of social emotional learning, SEL, turning math into a social project. Even worse, 71% of the books targeted at grades K through 5 were not appropriately aligned with the Florida standard. They included prohibited topics and unsolicited strategies. Basically meaning, hey, we're going to, you know, this is a math textbook, but we're going to slide something else in while we're at it. Maybe that explains the next article, which is showing a surge in homeschooling families. See, when they locked down all the schools, some families just started doing the school at home. They did the online class with their students. But how many of them saw what their children were being taught, decided, you know what, we're going to take over educating our children? And then once the schools reopened, guess what? More and more parents decided, nope, we're going to homeschool our children. It's one of those silver linings, I guess you'd say. It's one of the things we learned through the coronavirus scare that may have actually had a beneficial outcome. And in fact, according to the, I believe it's the Census Bureau, households where respondents identified as Black or African American, the proportion of homeschooling families increased 5 times. See, originally it was originally 3.3%, all the way up to 16.1%. That is interesting. Because how often have we heard people talking about school choice in the Black and African American communities? And how often have they been denied that opportunity by the people who claim to be all for them? And once they were given the chance, once they saw it was valuable, they jumped onto it. Granted, I mean, we're not talking a majority, but a 5-fold increase, that's quite an increase. And the interesting thing is other races, including Hispanic origins, well, they weren't that statistically different. We see the minorities flocking towards homeschooling, getting away from control of government as far as education. Now, I know many people have concerns about homeschooling. Many people can't homeschool because of their work situation. But as someone who did homeschool our daughter, it is a great opportunity, not just for the child, but for the parent as well. The opportunity to review things that, you know, you learned so long ago that, you know, that you don't remember it. It's a great opportunity to review that information, to expand the knowledge that you gained when you were in school, as well as to instill not only the basics of education, but things like a work ethic and a moral standard into the education process of your child. I certainly would recommend it. And all across the country, there are groups and organizations that will help you if you want to get started, or if you're in the middle of it and you're having a hard time making it all work. There are groups that would help. I would recommend looking at some of your state homeschool associations and make it happen. But I think a lot of this homeschool call is not because, it's because people no longer trust the public school system. They no longer trust that their children will be protected from things they're not ready for. That the purpose of the school now is to counter the teaching of the parents rather than to assist the teaching of the parents. It's just another place where, can we trust them anymore? Now, I do have to take a break, but before I do, I want to remind you of a couple things. One of which is I'm going to be on the road soon. I'm setting up tour dates. I'm going to homeschool conferences. I'm looking to meet people face-to-face. If you want to find out more, please head to constitutionstudy.com. You'll find my calendar. I have a page for conferences. I have a page for the tour I'm putting together. And of course, when I'm on the road, it's easier to get sick, right? You're staying in hotels. You're putting in lots of hours. You get run down. It's easy to get sick. What I do is I take Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. It is designed to support your immune system while you're on the go with a simple, travel-ready gel pack that combines over a dozen immune supplements that you take in one shot. It works for me. I'm sure it'll work for you. And as an America Out Loud listener, they will give you 20% off your first order. So just go to HealthyCell.com, search for any of their products. Again, I like the Immune Super Boost. I like a lot of their products. But try the Immune Super Boost. Put together your order. When you check out, use that code OUTLOUD. They will give you 20% off your order, and they will let you, and you'll let them know that you listen to America Out Loud. So again, that's HealthyCell.com. Use the code OUTLOUD.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Along with a healthy immune system, clean air is vital for optimal health. According to the EPA, we spend 90% of our time indoors, where germs are most concentrated. It's essential to clean indoor air. Genesis is the only technology that quickly, safely, and effectively kills pathogens both in the air and on surfaces in seconds, reducing the viral load in any environment. The powerful, well-built Genesis fogger produces a dry, ultra-fine mist using HOCL, which occurs naturally in our own immune systems. We'll be living with airborne diseases in the future. New viruses and antibiotic-resistant superbugs are no problem for Genesis. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next. Visit GenesisFogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at GenesisFogger.com/OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You're back to join with the Constitution Study. Today, I have with me an Oklahoma Entrepreneur of the Year, founder and, tour guide of the Reawaken American Tour. I have Clay Clark joining me. Clay, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Hey, thank you for carving out time to allow me to be here with you and your listeners. And hopefully we drop at least 5 knowledge bombs that all your listeners did not know previous to today's show.
Well, only 5. It'll be a light show then. Excellent. Well, why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about the Reawaken America Tour.
Yeah, essentially, you know, we find ourselves at a time in American history and even world history where we're being told that it's unethical to go to work. It's unethical to have a wedding. It's unethical to run around without wearing a mask. We're being told there's mask mandates, there's lockdowns, quarantines, curfews. There's new rules everywhere. And it's all coming from one source. So for most people out there, I believe that I've talked to, don't really know a whole lot about COVID-19, the Great Reset, but it's called COVID-19, the Great Reset. That's the book written by Klaus Schwab. It's called COVID-19, the Great Reset. And his book calls for the implementation of what you're seeing right in front of you. So if you wonder why we're having election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, monetary fraud, mainstream media fraud, all these kinds of fraud, while we seem to be losing all of our freedoms are being taken away by people that don't love God. It's because we're living through the implementation of what's called COVID-19, the Great Reset. And if you don't know a lot about it or you want to see the patents that prove the plan, just go to time2freeamerica.com. That's time2freeamerica.com. And once you go to time2freeamerica.com, there you can see the patents that prove the plan.
Gotcha. And they're really talking about putting, again, something above the Constitution, something above God, something above your rights, and using that to control, to basically change the fundamental concept of being a free person, especially within this country.
Exactly. And if anybody out there hasn't heard, Yuval Noah Harari, he's the top advisor for Klaus Schwab. So he's not one of the advisors. He's the top advisor for Klaus Schwab. And he was asked during an interview, they said, the New York Times, they said, hey, what's COVID-19, the Great Reset, all about? How's it going to change the world? And this is what Yuval Noah Harari had to say.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin. Because really, we haven't seen anything yet. I think that the big process that's happening right now in the world is hacking human beings, the ability to hack humans, to understand deeply what's happening within you, what makes you go. And for that, the most important data is not what you read and who you meet and what you buy, it's what's happening inside your body. So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution or the infotech revolution, and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge. They are merging around, I would say, the biometric sensor. It's the thing, it's the gadget, it's the technology that converts biological data into digital data that can be analyzed by computers. And having the ability to really monitor people under the skin, this is the biggest game changer of all. Because this is the key for getting to know people better than they know themselves. I often give the example from my own personal life that I realized I was gay only when I was 21.
This is the kind of stuff they talk about at the New York. This is what they talk about here at the World Economic Forum. This is what they talk about here at the New York Times. And again, he just said COVID-19 was the moment that we began putting surveillance under the skin. Yeah. That's why COVID-19 stands for Certificate of Vaccination, IDAI.
And the funny part is, the Fourth Amendment says you have a right to be secure in your person, houses, papers, and effects. And some few people realize you walk around with a tracking device on you. Now they're talking about putting a tracking device in you. And of course, it's always done. This will be so much better for you. It'll be so much easier, so less chance of fraud. All it will cost you is every right that you have.
Correct. And they throw it out there. It's in your face. And I just encourage people to understand that this is what, let me just play another example. This would be Yuval Noah Harari. He was talking about eternity. He was asked at a speaking event, they were asking him, hey, tell us, what do you believe? What are your thoughts on eternal life? And he says, well, with the new RNA modifying nanotechnology shots, this is how it's going to work. Listen to this.
You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions. and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being.
Now listen to this, the technology developed by Yuval Noah Harari, the New York Times, they did a follow-up question and they're going, what does that do for privacy? You know, when you put RNA modifying nanotechnology under the skin. And again, folks, you can see all these patents simply by going to time2freeamerica.com, time2freeamerica.com. It's all right there. Listen to this.
We are great. We have these wonderful high-tech companies. We make a lot of money out of it. It raises our power in the world. What can be wrong with it? This debate about privacy versus security is as old as civilization, you can say. But there is something new now. For the first time in history, it's possible to completely eliminate privacy. Mm-hmm. It was just never possible before, and it is possible now. Something fundamental has changed. Mm-hmm. When dictators always dreamt about completely eliminating privacy, monitoring everybody all the time, and knowing everything you do, and not just everything you do, but even everything you think and everything you feel. Whether it's a tyrant in ancient Greece or whether it's Stalin, they always dreamt about it. They could never do it because it was technically impossible. Now it's possible. The same thing will happen with deepfake. At first, we'll see the US president saying something and we'll believe, I saw it with my own eyes, he said it. Within a few months or years, everybody would know you can make anything you want. So new institutions of trust will emerge that you don't trust the video, you trust the institution that hosts it.
Unbelievable. So that's what's going on. It's called COVID-19, the Great Reset. That's the agenda being pushed right now. And I don't think the average person that I run into knows this. When we do our Reawaken America Tour events, you know, we'll bring in Kash Patel, Eric Trump, Mike Lindell. A lot of people are there because they want to see these big time speakers. You know, they've seen Sidney Powell, Jim Caviezel. We've had Dr. Zelenko, Stella Emanuel, Simone Gold, Sean Foyt, the praise and worship leader, Jim Brewer, the comedian. When they get there, I think a lot of people show up because they want to see patriots sharing the truth. But I can tell you this anecdotally. Most people that I meet at the Reawaken America Tour do not know who Yuval Noah Harari is, and they don't know what the Great Reset is.
Yeah. And, it's funny. You look at that. He said, you know, dictators have been trying to get rid of privacy since the beginning. And, you know, we built into our founding fathers built into the Constitution protections, which we have ignored. We've basically, you know, all but bundled them up and thrown them in the trash heap. And now the very idea of privacy, the very idea of being secure in yourself seems anathema to people who want someone in government to take care of everything. They want to take care of you when you're born. They want to take care of you when you're old. They want to take care of when you're sick. They want to take care of you when you get a boo-boo. It's we will give up all of our freedom in order to be taken care of. And sadly, there's a phrase for people who cannot make decisions for themselves. There's a term for people who are literally controlled by someone else. It's called slaves. And the American people are literally enslaving themselves.
Correct. And I will say, I'll also say this for anybody out there that's not a fan of slavery, but you want to know what's happening, which I hope is all your listeners. If you could type into Google right now, HR 6666, that's four sixes, HR 6666, you'll see there's legislation being put out right now by Congress, HR within four sixes, HR 6666, that would actually make it possible for the health secretary to merge, to create a new agency that would merge mental health and the physical health agency into one sort of a law enforcement pre-crime organization. I just want people to listen to this. Is me reading from HR 6666. It says COVID-19 testing, reaching and contacting everyone act. And this is to authorize the Secretary of Health and Human Services to award grants to eligible entities to conduct diagnostic testing for COVID-19 and related activities such as contact tracing through mobile health units and, as necessary, at individuals' residences, at your home, They could separate you from your family if you don't want to take the RNA modifying nanotechnology shots inside your body. And so if you want to see what's inside those RNA modifying nanotechnology shots, you can go to timetofreeamerica.com. If you want to read the actual legislation, just Google search it yourself or DuckDuckGo, HR 6666. And I can just tell people they want to take you to green zones. So if you type in CDC green zones, CDC green zone into Google or DuckDuckGo, the CDC has rolled out legislation or a recommendation, I should say, the recommendation that would run parallel with this legislation to take people to detention / quarantine camps if they will not take the RNA modifying nanotechnology inside their body.
Yeah. And again, what they did that in Australia.
Yep.
They've done other parts of words. And again, we've done it here in America, just not for a disease. But the interesting thing is, again, being a constitutional scholar on my end,
yep,
I look at this and say, it's even more example why John Jay was so correct that we need to read and study the Constitution so that we will know our rights and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. Because you talk about the CDC doing this, and what flashes in my head is, wait a second, public health is not a power delegated to the United States. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I've had a meeting with my sheriff and made sure I says, you know, hey, if someone comes knocking on my door asking questions, and they're trespassing, will you come and arrest them even if they're working for the federal government? And his answer was yes.
It just blows my mind we find ourselves at this time in American history. And I think that's why God's asking all of the listeners out there, I really believe that God's putting a burden on the hearts of a lot of listeners right now, a lot of viewers, a lot of listeners, where you, if you're listening right now, you want to know what you can do to get involved. I mean, you're seeing mask mandates on our kids. You're seeing quarantine camps. You're seeing people lose their jobs because they don't want to take RNA modifying nanotechnologies. You're seeing your freedoms being taken away. You're seeing a surveillance state being installed. You're seeing the bank accounts of Canadians being frozen for simply for supporting the truckers. You're seeing all this happen. You're asking, well, what can you do? And that's really where General Flynn and many of the speakers on the Reawaken America tour come into play. These are people that want to save the country. And many of these speakers have asked me to organize these events to provide an opportunity for the patriots, like your listeners, to get connected to the actual fight. And so if you're out there today and you want to know what you can do to save this nation, I would encourage you to go to timetofreeamerica.com to request your tickets. Again, that's timetofreeamerica.com. And again, you can name your price to our events. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but you can name your price. So I don't care where you're at financially right now. You can afford to get out to one of these Reawaken America tour events. And also, you know, President Trump has five people very close to him. You have Cash Patel, you have Eric Trump, you have Peter Navarro, you have General Flynn, you have Don Jr. Four of the five people closest to President Donald J. Trump are actually on the tour. So if you want to hear the news before it becomes news, you want to be at the tip of the spear, you want to hear what's going on, you can find out more by going to time2freeamerica.com.
Excellent. That answers the question I was about to ask you is, how do we find out more about the tour? Where can people get information? Where can people get tickets? Where can they find out more of what else that Clay Clark is working on?
Yeah, well, one is if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you click on the button that says, let me see it real quick here. The button says support Clay Clark against Eric Coomer's lawsuit. The former head of security and strategy for Dominion, Eric Coomer, is currently suing me for defamation right now, which is this is the same Eric Coomer that ran a moving vehicle into a parked building while driving a vehicle during the middle of the day. Then he lied to police about being the person who ran the vehicle into the building while he was being filmed via body cam. This is the same Eric Coomer that on social media has posted his thoughts about Trump supporters and his lack of respect for them. This is the same Eric Coomer that said that the machines were not connected to the internet when in fact they were. So I encourage everybody out there right now, if you're listening right now and you want to help support the fight against election fraud, I encourage you, because they're trying to silence these events. I mean, they don't want Jovan Pulitzer. They don't want Jovan Pulitzer. They don't want Mike Lindell to be at these events. They don't want these people to share the truth. And because the tour has provided one of the only places for people to share the truth about election fraud. That's why they're coming after the election. That's why they're coming after the Reawaken America tour so hard. So I encourage everybody, you can support us right now by going to timetofreeamerica.com. We have a little button there. You can learn about the lawsuit there. And if you want to donate and support, so far it's costing about $3,000 a day to fight the legal battle here. I don't take a dime of income or salary from these events. I'm glad to do it, but any support that people can contribute or get involved in there, that'd be much appreciated. Again, you can learn more at timetofreeamerica.com.
You know, the idea that freedom is not free. It has always cost us. Whether it's blood, sweat, tears, or cash, freedom is not free. And it takes, not only does it take people that are willing to stand up and make a stand, make their voices heard, it's the people who come alongside and support them and back them and sometimes just stand with them as they are doing the good work. Clay, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Again, you can find out more at timetofreeamerica.com. And if you want to find out more about this program, about the Constitution Study, you can hear us 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio on the iHeartRadio Network. Find our apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa. Listen on our media player. Find the website. You go to America.com. You can find all the links for the tools. You can find the show page for the Constitution Study. Please take this article, take this episode, and share it with friends and family. That's the best way we can help, is to make it, get as many people aware of what's going on and the fact that they can do something. And you can be part of the solution rather than simply sitting there and watching the problem happen. Clay, thank you very much for your time. I hope you have great success with this tour.
Hey, thank you for carving out time again. I know you're a very busy person. And folks, again, you can learn more about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, monetary fraud, and mainstream media fraud at timetofreeamerica.com.
And thank you very much. And I'll catch everybody else after this short break.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and coronaviruses are everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to reduce these threats with an invisible mask as an additional layer of protection? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs while protecting you from airborne pathogens that make us sick. America Out Loud listeners get 20% off. Use Cofix RX while in large groups, while traveling, or for any other type of high-risk situation as an additional layer of protection to help reduce your likelihood of catching a cold, the flu, or SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Right now, America Out Loud listeners get 20% off of all orders. Click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Well, you've joined the Constitution Study. That last segment with Clay Clark, very interesting. A lot of information, a lot of stuff being thrown at you. I hope you found that interesting. We're still talking about who do you trust, and how do we deal with this, with a society when not only is our faith in our normal institutions waning, but the very idea of who can you trust has now become part of society. I mean, who can you trust for news and information when you find out more and more censorship is going on? Who can you trust for medical advice, medical treatment, when you've got so many conflicting opinions? And then who can you trust when it comes to educating our children? Now, in the first segment, I talked about Florida and how the Department of Education has rejected a bunch of books because of indoctrination, because of inappropriate and unsolicited information in math school books. Well, Florida's not alone. See, parents with children in the middle school in the Ludlow Public School District in Massachusetts, well, they're filing a suit against a group of teachers and administrators saying that the district's policy have been encouraging the students to alter their quote-unquote gender identity and hide it from the parents. Specifically, the parents claimed that children in Baird Middle School were encouraged by their teachers to change their names and their pronouns without any parental consent. The students were told they could use the restroom, kind of responding to the new identity. Again, not with informing the parents. That the district's, quote, policy affirming gender identity violates both state and federal law. That one I want to go back and do a little bit more research on, because that sounds like it might be interesting. But think about it this way. You send your child to school. Now, I'm a product of public schools. I spent several years in public schools in New York City and then more years in public schools in a small town in upstate New York. And I can't imagine my parents worrying about whether or not I would be taught something that was sexually inappropriate for my age. The thought never crossed their mind. When did school stop being a safe place? Now, I know there are people out there saying, but Paul, they're trying to make it a safe place. They want to be gender affirming. You know, it's one thing to allow bullying of students because they're different. I don't condone that. I know very few people who do. But we're not talking about, we're talking about teachers encouraging students to be different. Not simply saying, oh, okay, Johnny, you know, you showed up to school in a dress today. Oh, you want to be called Janie? Okay. We're talking about parents saying, you know what, Johnny, you look a little different. You may be a Janie, but whatever you do, don't tell your parents. You can be Jane in school. You can use she in school. You can use a girl's restroom in school, but don't tell your parents. That reminds me an awful lot of Marx. You remember old Karl, who said that the education of all children from the moment they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions? And that for the bureaucrat, the world is a mere object to be manipulated by him. Doesn't that sound a little familiar? As soon as we can, we want to get the children out of the hands of the parents and into state-run institutions. And in many of those institutions, at least some of those institutions, you have government employees, state employees, bureaucrats that see them as an object to be manipulated. I don't know about you, but there's no way on God's green earth my child would ever have gone to a public school. And I can pretty much be sure that my grandchildren won't be going into public school, because public schools are now dangerous. Now, I remember as a child, there were certain places my mother didn't want me to go because they were inherently dangerous. When we're watching our public schools become one of those places, and what are we doing about it? And again, it's not just the schools. Who do you trust for medical advice? As I said, you know, through this whole COVID thing, there has been a plethora of information. In fact, to many people, there's been a glut of information. There's been more information than they can know. Who do you trust? Now, for most of us, we probably trust our doctors. I don't mean the doctors on TV or the talking heads on news programs. I'm talking about the man or woman you visit that takes your pulse and tells you to lose some weight and get more exercise and eat better. All those things, the doctor stuff. But what happens if that doctor isn't giving you the whole truth? See, one of the side effects of the illegal, unconstitutional Affordable Care Act is that more and more medicine was concentrated in these conglomerates, in these large hospital conglomerates, these large medical provider. It's been corporatized. I have nothing inherently against corporations, but I'm not going to trust a corporation with my medical decisions. Now, I've been on both sides of the fence, right? I have a primary care physician who's more than happy to sit down with me and my wife tell us what she's learned from research and study and people she listens to, and help us make a decision that we're comfortable with. My wife also has a neurologist that refused to see her because she would not be a medical guinea pig. Oh, he didn't put it that way. He actually had his office staff call my wife and say she wasn't allowed in the office anymore unless she took the quote-unquote vaccine. But the vaccine they're talking about is not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. It's an mRNA therapy. It is literally changing your RNA. And by the way, there's more evidence that's changing your DNA. So who do you trust? Now, it's interesting because a study was done by, I believe, the Texas A&M School of Public Health. I'm not sure if they're the ones that did. But they surveyed doctors, and they found that 10% of the doctors did not agree that the vaccines were safe. And 9.3% did not agree that the vaccines were effective. And 8.3% did not agree that they were important. So roughly about 10% of the medical community, 10% of the doctors, are not so sure about the safety and effectiveness of these vaccines. So if you go to the doctor's office and say, "Hey, doc, should I take this vaccine?" Are you sure you're getting an honest answer? See, because many of these doctors, again, they work for these conglomerates. They work for these medical corporations. They were forced to take a quote-unquote vaccine, a COVID shot, as a condition of employment. They are coerced, if not forced, by their employer's policy to recommend or disregard certain treatment options. Who can you trust? Which to me leads me down to a very human but very dangerous path that we have taken. You see, it's very human for us to find people we will trust and follow them blindly. Whether it's a religious leader, a political leader, a medical leader, a historical person, we blindly follow what they say. We never take a critical look at it. And what we never think about is when we follow what other people say, when we place ourselves under we follow blindly, we're placing ourselves under their control. And when we place ourselves under the control of others, well, then we're not in control. We are voluntarily giving up our freedom and liberty. Now, in many cases, that starts out with it's a very benign dictatorship, right? You have a trusted business partner, and so you trust them with more and more and more. And you never see it coming when they rob you blind. You have a favorite teacher or a favorite doctor and or a favorite employer, and you follow them blindly, and you never see it coming when it all comes crashing down. When you find that doctor has been taking shortcuts, when the financial advisor has been misusing your funds, when the employer hasn't kept their promises. And in many cases, we're devastated. But what happens, we've expanded that. Now you have your trusted news source, and we rarely fact check them. We rarely go back to the source and say, is what they're telling us true? Which leaves us vulnerable to what other people want us to hear. And it's one of the reasons why censorship is so dangerous. Yes, it would be so easy if you didn't have to listen to contradictory points of view. If everybody agreed with you, life would be wonderful and horrible. You wouldn't have the anxiety of dealing with people who disagree with you, but it'd be horrible because you'd have no freedom of thought, no freedom of speech, no right to disagree. In the Bible, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens his countenance against another. The idea of sharpening a knife or a sword by rubbing against it, and you have roughness and heat and friction, and it can hurt, but it is that action that smooths the rough surfaces. that's what happens. You need people that you can test yourself against. But we don't want that anymore. We only want to listen to the people that we agree with. And we end up in our own little silos. And when contradictory information shows up, rather than saying, I wonder if that's possibly true, we want to discharge. We want someone to take it away. We don't want to hear it. We live in a fairy tale of life is perfect and just tell us what we need to hear and we don't want to deal with the rest. And that's leading us into slavery. It's leading us into a situation where we don't, not only can we not discern right from wrong, we don't even consider there is such a thing as right from wrong. It leads us to a place where men are called women, where men with a biological advantage in certain sports are allowed to compete against women, and it's called fair. Where you can place a thumb on the scales of justice, and it's called fairness, or in some cases, equity. It is a very dangerous place to be, which is why, you know, you look at the Reawaken tour to open your eyes to the possibility that maybe there's something else going on. You know, we've seen it all the time in crime dramas, right? Someone says, I want my lawyer. I don't want to answer any questions. I'm invoking my right to remain silent. And the cop says, well, if you've got nothing to hide, why won't you talk to us? Because I have everything to protect. My rights. We've lost that concept that it's up to us to protect our own rights, not to be dependent on others to do it for us. It's up to us to protect our own health, our own education, our own futures, our own finances, not to be dependent on someone else. It doesn't mean it's always going to work. And it doesn't mean there's not a situation where I have a moral obligation to help my fellow man. But I shouldn't be dependent on my fellow man. That's the difference. See, there's always going to be people that need help. And I would like to see them. I'd like to help them. I wish I had the resources to help many more people. But if they become dependent on me, then I've enslaved them. And in the same way, when people become dependent on government or on the news media or on a political party, they are enslaved by that party. So I loop back around. Who can you trust? We must learn to trust in ourselves. And if we don't trust that we have the knowledge and skills, then we must learn to acquire them. I'm not saying we have to be an expert in all fields, but we must be able to look at something rationally, to discern right from wrong, to understand that differing points of view are good, listen to all the different voices, and then see which ones have a historical habit of being right more often than not. Don't wait for someone to tell you what is true. Find it out for yourself. I use, for example, when I interviewed Dr. McCullough, I didn't know half the terms he was talking about. But when I compared what he was saying to what was actually happening, the data, the facts, the reports I could pull up, he was right. I didn't have to understand all the medical details. I could see where he was going, and I could see that he was correct. I made that decision. I didn't allow Dr. McCullough to do it for me. We need to learn to trust ourselves and to give ourselves the tools we need so that we can be trustworthy. Now, I know that can be scary at times, but take it from someone who's actually done this. It's actually quite liberating. It is quite freeing to recognize I don't have to be scared because so-and-so said so. I don't have to do something because my government says so, or because a doctor says so, or because some pundit on the media says so. I can decide for myself. Yes, there are consequences for that. There are times when it's a lot of work. There's a time. There are times when it takes more effort, when I have to do things that other people don't have to. But ultimately, I look back at these times and I say, it's been worth it. The last 3 years I've spent spending full time on the Constitution study have been absolutely worth it. Not because I've gotten some financial gain out of it, but because I sleep well at night, knowing I'm doing whatever I can to help secure the blessings of liberty for my daughter. And in doing so, I'm helping other people secure the blessings of liberty for their children and for their children's children. And I can think of no better way to spend my years here on earth than in helping secure the blessings of liberty for as many people as I can. Now, I want to remind you, all of my programs go to podcast typically a day or two after they're heard here on Talk Radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. Do me a favor, subscribe, leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, help other people find the Constitution Study. Share these episodes, share the web page, share this information. It is up to us to share others, to spread them as seeds around this country, the blessings of liberty. Don't simply be a consumer of those blessings. Share them. Join me as we secure them for ourselves and our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.